The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news medias don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this November 10th, Wednesday, 2021. Indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance, and I am Pastor Ernie Sanders. And boy, we have a lot to get to tonight. I mean, a whole lot to get to. And, we have ready to defend any of those that try to storm the studio and cancel me is the mighty Andrew.
That's right, Pastor. Standing guard.
All right. Very good. And then we have out there, listen, if Mother Nature was a woman, a lady, it would be Wendy Wilson out there in North Carolina. Hey, Wendy.
Good evening, Pastor.
Good evening, young lady. And then we have Mercer Mitchell and Brian Robertson.
How you doing? Hello, Pastor.
I'm doing okay. Am I losing my mind, or were we supposed to have Pastor David Burton?
I think he'll be doing it soon.
He should be coming on.
Oh, okay. All right, very good. So we're going to get right into our Bible study here tonight. Mm-hmm. And it's the title of the message was, Never Give Up, Never Give Up, Never Give Up. Where do you think I got that title, fellas?
Winston Churchill.
That's right. When he was speaking to a class of cadets and they asked him, Mr. Churchill, what advice do you have for us young officers? And he said, Never give up, never give up, never give up, and turned around and walked away. That was a very short speech.
Amen.
Amen. And I hold to that. I believe in that. And so we're going to pick it up where we left off as we go through Ezekiel chapter 9. In Ezekiel chapter 9, and I'll tell you, do you guys have your Bibles there with you, your King James Bibles?
Yes, sir. Sure do.
All right. Okay. Then I'm going to start there with you, Mercer, on National Radio. Read me verses 1 through 7.
Okay. Verses 1 through 7, Ezekiel chapter 9. He cried also in mine ears with a loud voice, saying, Cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth toward the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And the man and one man among them was clothed with linen, with a writer's inkhorn by his side. And they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. And the glory of the Lord, the glory of God of Israel, was gone up from the cherub, whereupon he was to the threshold of the house, and he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. And to the others, he said in mine hearing, go ye after him through the city and smite. Let not your eye spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house. And he said unto them, defile the house and fill the courts with the slain. Go ye forth. And they went forth and slew in the city.
Alrighty, now, here, who's giving this order? Who's giving this order? It's God himself is giving this order, okay?
Yes.
Now, and so Ezekiel, once Ezekiel had seen how corrupt Jerusalem had become, remember what he did with Ezekiel, he showed him, he took him, and from Babylon, in a dream, and he showed him what was taking place in Jerusalem, how corrupt they had become, and God had given them an opportunity. He told the leaders that if they had repent, if they would repent, then they would not have to, they could stay right in Jerusalem, and they would not be taken by Nebuchadnezzar in the Babylonian captivity. But now you had these two fellows named Ezekiel and Jeremiah, these two prophets. And what do you think their record was for accuracy in prophecy?
100%.
They were 100%.
You're absolutely right. But now you had these other prophets, like the prosperity preachers of today, and they were telling them what they wanted to hear. And so they said, well, you know, we'd rather believe our prophets because, you know, there's more of them, and we think that we'd rather believe them. Well, it didn't end up being going too well for him for doing that here. And so now he goes and you behold six men from the way of the higher gate. And then these men had their weapons, their slaughter weapons in their hand. Okay? Mm-hmm. Okay? And now we have Pastor David Barton joining us. Are you there, David?
Yes. How you doing, Pastor?
We're doing all right. We got quite a house full tonight here. And we're going through Ezekiel. And now he's talking about there was a fella in white robe. And that fella had a writer's inkhorn. Have you ever been to Israel? They have all of these in the museums and that, these old artifacts. And these writer's inkhorns were like a long, narrow board. And they had little slots in them, grooves. And they would take these cakes of dried, it would be a cake of dried ink, like black or red or blue. And then you'd have to wet it, you know, and then you use your pen after you'd wet it. And so now here, they took and they put a mark on the heads of these people, of the men who were sad, who were upset, who mourned because of the wickedness of the people there, okay? When do we see in the Bible, there's a couple other places there, especially over in Revelation, where they put the marks on the people. If you go over to Revelation chapter 7 and in verse 3, who do you think they're putting the marks on? That mark went on the 144,000. Those were God's people. But then in Revelation 13, go ahead. Revelation 13, verses 16 and 17, if I remember right. The Antichrist is putting is giving his mark upon his people. And and you know what? And listen, when I'm telling you this, I truly believe that these people today, those that have were so quick to fall for. I was amazed. I was just amazed how easily people fell for this whole scamdemic thing. Because we told you right from the beginning, going all the way back to March of 2020, we told you this whole thing was a scam. We said, fellas, people, don't you see what's happening here, okay? And right. those that fell for that, and those that took, well, were so quick to wear the masks, and they would be the same ones that are so quick to take the poisonous poke. And see, a lot of people don't realize this, but the numbers they're hiding is over 150,000 people have already died here in this country, but they're hiding those numbers. You guys aren't supposed to know that.
That's right.
And so here, so he says, now, put the mark on his people, and for those men, that they'll be spared. And, of course, we know that God's people, and they're in Revelation 7, 144,000 would be spared, okay? And so now here, he says, defile the house and fill the courts of the ancients. The ancients, the 70 ancients, they were the religious leaders. They were the religious leaders. And do the religious leaders, does God hold them to a higher standard?
Absolutely. Amen.
If we read over in First Peter, if we read over in First Peter, we see that here he tells you that judgment begins in the house of the Lord. Judgment begins in the house of God, and boy does it. Okay, and here, right now, if we take a look at the harsh reality, and I'll ask you guys, and then you tell me, the wickedness that was taking place there. When we look at the harsh reality, is that the people here in America have been living, just like living with the killing of our children for so long that they become numb to the horror that they, and try to block out the thought, well, I don't see it. I don't see it. That way, you know, I'm kind of justified in not really doing anything about it. Everybody should do everything. Everyone who professes to be a decent human being should stand and do everything that they possibly can. In fact, that's exactly what it tells you in Proverbs 24, 10, 11, and 12. To stop the killing of God's innocent children, shouldn't they?
That's right.
Amen. Yeah, absolutely. Right.
And so, you know, fellas, we're going to be showing a film, or playing, not a film, a clip, but it's going to be a fairly long clip. And let me just say this, and I'm going to do this tonight because it really needs to get out. And now in this clip, it's a clip, and you're going to hear from Stu Peters. He's done some research on this. And I've known for a long time that this has been happening. And we've been telling people. But there are times when there are things that people don't want to hear. And no matter how often you sound the alarm, it's something they can't wrap their brains around. Now, for example, for 49 years, I've been telling people, if you love your kids, get them out of the public school. For 49 years, I've been telling people that they become hotbeds of cultural Marxism. You're going to regret it. You need to get them out. And, well, a few things happened. By the way, I don't know if you guys knew, but here in Ohio, I was one of the pioneers to starting the homeschool movement. Did you know that, Mercer?
No.
Yeah.
I think you told us that a long time ago, but I forgot about that.
Yeah, that was back in the early. And we did everything, you know, and we got, and homeschooling was started, and we were just, praise the Lord. And today, homeschooling is growing at a massive number very quickly because people finally are understanding. See, we tried to tell them what was happening, but it's like, you know, if I don't know about it, then I don't have to do anything about it.
Yeah.
And this
Pastor,
whole...
Pastor Ernie, if I can say this, you know, in Acts, Stephen, in his sermon, one of the things he said to Israel is that because you have took up the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of the god of Rephan, figures which ye made to worship them, I will carry you away beyond Babylon. And that's a sermon that was preached in the New Testament warning Israel because of the sins of your father against children, what you've done against children. And I know I've heard you say, you know, hey, look, that you might as well put a millstone around your neck when you harm children this way, you know. And so we're seeing that in our society where children are the target. We need to be careful, because if we don't, we're going to bring our land into captivity, a captivity that we don't want to go through.
Well, actually, brother, it's kind of there right now. You see, we're battling back for our freedoms. Right now, there's a lot of things happening that people don't really realize about what is happening. You've got the IRS has been weaponized against us. They want to add on like 8,000 more agents. To go into look into everybody's checking account, everybody's banking account. This is Gestapo stuff. This is real Gestapo stuff. We don't have a Justice Department. It is no longer. There is no independent Justice Department. I had called when Abomination was in office. I had called the Justice Department because McTernan and I were having a campaign going. There was a lot of things happening then, too. And I asked them, and I called several times to talk to different lawyers. There were hundreds of lawyers there. And I asked them, do you know of any Christians at all? Do you know? And they asked around for me there at the Justice, and they could not find one Christian working there. Mm-hmm. Okay? The FBI is no longer. It used to be the FBI. I had friends in the FBI. And, you know, they had integrity. They had self-respect and honor. And, you know, they were good cops, clean cops. No, not anymore. Not anymore. They've turned into a bunch of whores. They've turned into a bunch of... Now, I'm hoping John McTernan thinks that they're totally gone, but I'm hoping that we still have some of those there that have not turned away. But for the most part, they've just turned into a bunch of whores. They betrayed us. And that's the way... Now, there's reasons for that, things that are happening. And when we play this clip tonight, you'll know why. And so I'm going to go right into Miss Wendy Wilson, because Wendy has always got some great information to us. And, you know, when we go into the stores and you want to buy certain things, and Wendy, I'm trying to think of the word where it's all natural.
Organic.
Organic, that's the word I was trying to think of. And you go in there and you find all this, you see it marked organic. And you know, I looked where it says 100% juice, you know. But when you look on that, you find out that mostly it's like 90% water and maybe 10% actual juice in there. They can do that with their labeling. So Wendy, tell me what I'm talking about.
Well, basically, your organic market is a big deal. It's a $1 billion market. You know, there's a lot of consumers out there that go to the store and they're really looking for things that say all natural organic or certified organic. And a lot of people now look for the logos or the seals that are on these items, you know, that are supposed to be certified organic. So are these measures, though, enough to present organic products, or do you suppose some of this may be misrepresented? Well, the truth is these logos and seals are not enough to guarantee they're organic. The regulations that govern the organic foods market have loopholes big enough to drive a herd of cattle. So it's been promoted, you know, as a safety measure, but, you know, the food import export outfits and agricultural companies tend to exploit the organic market, and I'm going to explain how they do it. Let's look at these seals. A lot of times you go into the store and you'll see on a gallon of milk, you know, USDA organic, right? Consumers are really looking for these signifiers on products that tell them it's been certified organic, it's natural, and unfortunately, the market's really not exempt from fraud, sorry to tell you. But it's extremely hard when an industry kind of waters down and changes the standards and then makes the organic product, well, you know, they tolerate a lot of wiggle room, to put it easily there, nicely there. Now, there's this report that showed up, Pastor, in 2018. It was in the Vancouver, Washington newspaper called The Columbian, and they asked the question if the organic seals are credible. So the article did mention standard disputes and even fraud, which they thought was worrisome, especially to companies that are counting on these seals to help them sell their products. So it makes consumers wonder that if they see the USDA organic seal, which is printed on a lot of grocery products that are sold in stores, people are wondering, is this a scam? So let's look at the nitty-gritty. Let's say, Pastor, you're a business owner, okay? Maybe you package, you know, organic grass-fed beef, okay? No antibiotics and all that stuff. You definitely want one of these seals on your products, or at least you think you want one. So the organic seals are symbols to supposedly signal to buyers that the product has been produced without fertilizers, pesticides, organic or synthetic, and the livestock's been treated in a certain standard way. Now, these are words on paper, and they don't necessarily especially mean anything, especially when there's disputes about standards being used in this industry, and there's reports of conflict of interest and even fraud. So manufacturers not asking if the cost to be able to put these seals on their products is worth the price, because they're seeing this whole organic industry crumble. So for the manufacturer to put these seals on their products, they have to purchase a license. So the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the National Organic Program both offer the use of their seals at a price between several hundred and several thousand dollars. The manufacturers to put these seals on their goods is very costly. They get a certification for use in a year. The average cost is $1,200 for one item. Now, the USDA does set its prices with approximately 80 in-house certified agents. So you would think there's a flat fee, but there's not. The agent sets the rate on a manufacturer, what they have to pay to use the seal. They're influenced by the size and scope of their manufacturing operation. So if I was an agent and I was going to go see your outfit, Pastor, I'm going to see the size and scope of your operation, and I'm going to base your license fee on how much money you're pulling in.
Well.
Okay, but it doesn't stop there. There are additional costs such as application fees, inspector fees, assessment fees, travel costs for the agents to come inspect you, also renewal fees. So these fees reflect the size and scale of your business also. So maintaining your organic certification is kind of a headache. And companies in the industry, when they see the standards and policies changing, altering the cost, companies are figuring it out. It's not worth the trouble to get certified. They tend to take the money they would have spent on that, and they focus on making quality organic products and spend the money elsewhere, like educating their consumers. So let me read you a quote from the Columbian Report. This was from a federal court case in 2018. They found that the U.S. Department of Agriculture was unable to provide reasonable assurance that required documents for organic domestic products. Now, the Washington Post also weighed in, and they blew the lid off the massive import shipments of supposedly organic grains, which are really animal feed. And there was also concern over their organic dairy and eggs that they were certifying as well. Now, farmers have also spoken up. They said the spirit of the organic market has strayed. They said corrupted individuals exploiting the industry have actually created a domestic and international ring of fraud. So it's a good idea to have a certified organic, but we need a new system. It's been corrupted. Here is a quote from Charlotte Valley. She's a policy analyst for Consumer Union. She said, the system in place isn't perfect, but doesn't mean we shouldn't have a system that is good. And then Ronnie Cummings, he's director of Organic Consumer Association, he said, food co-ops and smaller stores may also be more knowledgeable about where products actually come from. So that's the thing. You can find some really good, you know, family-owned manufacturers and mom-and-pop stores that really want to do a good job and provide you with a real certified product. They actually do that homework, and they put that on their shelf. So, but the New Yorker also had a report this year. It's they said there was a few buyers and renters of farms that were leveraging the organic market and even importing foods that were not organic and passing them off as organic. So in the organic market, tractor trailers full of grains, for instance, Pastor, that are marked as organic are worth 4 to 5 times more than the conventional grain. So the folks that were scamming the system became millionaires and billionaires in a few years. And then your listener saying, well, doesn't anybody test anything to prove it? Well, yeah, they do. In some cases, they do, but the standards are kind of not consistent, and they do allow some contamination to be tolerated, as, you know, the wiggle room I was mentioning. Now, John Hensack, he's with Paris. He's from Paris, Missouri. He's a farmer. He put it this way. He says, the real difference then between a ton of organic soybeans and a ton of conventional soybeans is the story you can tell about them. Now, this is going to blow your mind. The New Yorker was saying that salesmanship plays a large role in whether a crop gets certified as organic or not. It's all about the organic story has legitimate power. So if you can spin a yarn about your beef and get the inspector to give you a certificate of certification, then your beef just went up in price. So now, Chris Barner, he's an organic land management financer. He says this, it's a huge flaw in our organic industry that farmers pay the certifier, the USDA, many thousands of dollars. The certifier has a conflict of interest because they really don't want to blow the whistle on the fraud. He goes on to say, if you saw this operation and saw what they do on inspections, it would blow your mind. He says, I do thousands of transactions a year. The inspectors come in and they look at only three. Three.
Wow.
So, does this sound familiar to you?
We've got the best government money can buy out there. And it's all for...
Okay, so there's... So the oversight is lacking. The fox is watching the hen house. It kind of reminds the scientific research field that really doesn't have anything in place for check and balances. And, you know, there's really no penalties in place. Now, I will say this. There was a couple of people that were, you know, doing the naughty stuff and passing things off as organic. And they did get caught, and they went to jail for 10 years. So, I mean... So many others are not. So I look at it this way. You know, if you got a good ingredient, watch the process. Make sure the process doesn't alter your organic ingredient. And in the end, you have a really good organic product. Insist on till standard. I know at Apothecary Herbs, we have our herb vendors that we they do third-party testing on the crop. So it's not part of the USDA, and they have several third-party vendors they use, and they'll actually report on the crop. So you have some inkling as to how the crop was grown, how long the land rested, certification that there weren't any pesticides, herbicides, ethylene oxide gas, or any of that nonsense. So there is people working hard in the industry to keep it good, but as you know, we get people that creep in there and like to wreck it.
I know. I want to tell the folks right now, listen, I've been using your products when the apothecary herbs for years. And folks, again, apothecary is what God's word, the Bible, gives us, okay? That's the God's natural medicines, natural. When you talk about pharmacy, pharmakia, that means sorcery, witchcraft. Yeah. That's what it is. Pharmakia is witchcraft and sorcery. All of these poisonous pokes and all of this that they're trying to push upon us is witchcraft and sorcery, okay? It's right from the pit of hell. Now,
well, actually, your vaccine industry is really alchemy. A lot of people go, oh, no, doctors are shocked, you know, to even.
Well, alchemy is a part of the wizardry.
It is. So they use crystals, incantations, metals, heavy metals. Well, that's what aluminum and mercury are in your vaccine is heavy metals.
I know. You were talking about getting licensed, how you have to get the cost so much for a license. And now here, I can tell you this. Right now, would you say that you're a genuine mother, Wendy?
I'm a genuine mother, yes.
Right, okay. What's that word that we use for that again? What are we talking about? I'm having one of those nights. You know, when it's organic, it's with the word, I guess. So you're an organic parent. And what about David and Brian and Mercer? Are you organic parents?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I knew that, but listen to this. You see, the Biden regime, according to Stella Morabito, she published a warning to parents that if they don't stop this right now, the Biden regime and their agenda, moms and dads could soon have to be licensed to raise their own children, to be certified as organic parents. In other words, you'll have to take a test, you know, and be tested by the state with another tax. And then you'd have to get a license from the state to be organic parents. Now, these people, these nuts, these crazy people are planning on doing this. And remember what they're saying. Once, you know, Marx said, stay in the shadows until you're strong. And when you come out, be ruthless, show no mercy. You know, and so what's been happening, the word throughout the Biden regime is double down right now. You know, everybody, there's a lot of pushback, and their answer to the pushback is to double down, okay? Well, our answer, and this brings me to a point right now, and this is what she says, unless there is an aggressive and sustained pushback, you can count on the idea of invading the mainstream, she explained. But anyhow, I wanted to very quickly give two fast announcements. One is on Friday, and this is the pushback. On Friday, folks, listen, you got to stand up. You got to stand up. Here out here in Northeast Ohio, Geauga County Board of Health, they've moved their meeting place. Fellas, the first time they had a meeting, the first meeting I went to, there were four of us. And they pretty much very politely told us, well, you know what, we know you guys got concerns, but we can do about whatever we want, you know. Well, the next meeting, there were about 300 people there. And the fellow who was in charge got fired on the spot. And so, and then we just had another one. So what they've done now, you see, now here's why I'm telling you about this. So it's the feds give big money to counties like ours, $5, $7, $10 million, and it goes to the Board of Health, and they mandate, they make sure that the children in the public schools are forced to wear masks. They're forced to wear masks. That the children do not belong to their parents, they belong to the school, and they will submit to the theater, okay? And anyhow, so this is why we've been going after the Geauga City Board of Health because we don't want these masks, and we want to refuse them. The people, all of these poor employees working in these stores, it's making them sick. They shouldn't have to wear these masks, but that's where it's coming from. And so the pushback's got to be hard. Now, folks, this coming Friday, November 12th, from 4 p.m., this Friday, November 4th, 4 p.m., you people out in Jug County, you listen to me. You need to be out there at the Chardon Township Hall, at 9949 Minner Road, And you need to be there and holding your signs. We're going to be outside and just holding your signs that this is a scamdemic. The shots are poisonous. You're not going to wear a mask. You've had it. You're fed up and letting them know. You ain't going to take it no more. And then on Saturday, this coming Saturday from 10 to noon, there's going to be a big anti-vax mandate protest at the Progressive Insurance Headquarters, their national headquarters, the Progressive Headquarters at 6300 Wilson Mills Road in Mayfield Village. That's this coming Saturday, November 13, 10 to noon, a big anti-vax mandate. They're threatening to lay off hundreds and hundreds of people to fire them if they don't take the poison. This is unconstitutional. This is as anti-American. Well, it's anti-biblical as you can get. And so with that, fellas, I'm going to tell him to go ahead and play this clip, and I want you to listen to this clip. Now, I can't say that everything this woman on there is saying, but I can tell you the things that she's talking about are taking place because we've been fighting this for years. Mighty Andrew, take it away.
Wednesday, November 10th, 2021. Welcome to the Stu Peters Show. My name is Stu Peters. The FBI's raids on Project Veritas prove what previously seemed insane and unthinkable. Ashley Biden's diary is real. She really did take inappropriate sexual showers with her own dad, Joe Biden. And she really believes she was molested by older men as a young girl. But if it can happen to the daughter of a sitting U.S. senator, it can happen to anybody. It's just a matter of the authorities choosing to take it seriously instead of dismissing it all, or worse, being involved. Allie Carter may have the wildest personal story that we have ever heard. Allie grew up in the school of hard knocks, to say the least. She was one of six girls in a troubled home. Her parents were affiliated with the Black Panthers, the radical black separatist group, and maybe that's to blame for what happened to her. Allie says that her biological mother routinely slept with authority figures and soon initiated her own children into the same practices. Allie says that her mom would hand her over to be abused by the local police chief. She would take her to a trap house just to be abused. And when Allie coped with that pain by running away or by harming herself, she was rewarded by being placed in new foster care homes, where instead of her mother, it was teenage boys and foster fathers who in turn abused her. At the age of 13, Allie was trafficked first into strip clubs, then the Hollywood party scene. She says that she endured stalking, poisoning, and police harassment. And most incredibly of all, she says that this is a system that major American celebrities have knowledge of and participate in. Celebrities like John Travolta, Beyonce, Barack Obama, and yes, Joe Biden. In July of 2020, Allie stepped forward to tell her story. Instagram tagged that account as, quote, unsafe for the election and blocked it. Like we said, this is a horrific story. And we will not silence Allie Carter. We want to learn all about it, and she joins us now. Allie, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me, Stu. I really appreciate you.
So in July of 2020, you came out on Instagram. You couldn't bottle it up anymore. You made claims about Barack Obama and Joe Biden that shocked the world. How did it get there? Take us through your story.
Well, you know, as young as I remember, I've been trafficked through many elite places. I went from the Buckingham Palace to under the Getty Museum in Los Angeles, still under the custody of Child Protective Services, the child welfare system. It went from trap houses in your everyday neighborhood of Moreno Valley, California, and Los Angeles County, strip clubs, and into Hollywood elite parties. There was never a time of peace in my life. And I remember very clearly since 4 years old, there was never a time of peace in my life. It's been ongoing.
Who started all of this? I mean, your mother originally. And then who carried on? How did you end up in Buckingham Palace and underneath the Getty Museum and alongside some of these household names that I just mentioned?
When I was a child, there was many things that went on in the home. I tried to talk. I tried to let people know. Child Protective Services were called constantly since I was 3 months old. By the time I turned 13, I had enough of being raped and beaten and tortured behind rocks on La Salle in Moreno Valley, California. I had enough of going through dealing with my mother's boyfriends. She was nothing of a mother. But I had enough of dealing with them at 4 o'clock in the morning. I had enough of being the favorite out of the girls. And I couldn't take anymore. So I tried to kill myself. When I turned 13, CPS came into the picture. I was put into mental hospitals. And then finally, I was put into foster care. I thought things would be over from there. I thought it would be fine. And then after all of that, I started thinking that I was talking to someone online, but everybody knew me before I knew them. I was trafficked by a pimp who claimed to be 27 years old, and he was not. I found many passports, many different birth dates for him in his wallet. And when I told CPS this, they put him down as a 27-year-old boyfriend, and he was a 27-year-old trafficker that was going in and out of my homes, paying off my foster parents, and taking me to Hollywood elite parties over and out of the country, which is, you would think, would be where the FBI would have stepped in. I was letting my social workers know, and they told me to stay quiet. They told me that if I told anybody else that I would be shipped off to Arizona and no one would ever find me again. So, you know, at one point, you learn that you have to deal with what you have to deal with when the people in authority are not there to help you. And everybody is so worried about the elite. And we could give those names of Barack Obama, Joe Biden. We know about Michelle Obama. That's a man. We know about Too Short. We know about Akon and Steven Tyler. And we can give those names all day. And everybody is so worried about that. But what you should be worried about is the people that are in between, the people that go as low as your grave diggers. I was trafficked to people within my schools. I was trafficked in underground tunnels that link under your schools, through your cemeteries, under your amusement parks, through Universal Studios, and into Hollywood elite homes, all over the place, all over the world. And people don't understand that, and they can't fathom that, and they can't put that together. But if you think about the things that have come out lately, and there's 200 children missing, and there's 300 children missing, what Amber Alert did you receive? How many times do you receive an Amber Alert every year? And if you think about that, how many children are coming up in your face that have been tortured and abused like this? It exists and it's real. And people don't want to face it. It happens in your schools every day as your grave diggers, your trash men. Everybody is involved, but everybody is looking at the top, and that's just a small percentage. And you really need to look at the people in between.
So the names that you just mentioned, Barack Obama, Steven Tyler, Joe Biden, Michelle Obama, have you had personal sexual experiences with these people?
Yes.
These people participated in sex abuse firsthand with you.
Yes.
Can you tell that story? Because that's important for people to understand and to know. And to this point, I don't think a national platform has given you the opportunity to say those things.
No, because everybody is complicit. Everybody is complicit. It is covered up by your local FBI. It is covered up by your local police department. It is underground tunnels. There's a whole world. It's a different way of life. There's every source of transportation. When I met Joe Biden, I was rushed through many celebrities. Half of them I did not know. It didn't faze me to see them. It didn't. Some of them were actually very conceited and cocky that I didn't know who they were. Underground, under the Getty Museum in Los Angeles, there are many tunnels. Again, there's a way of transportation. There's every single way of transportation under the ground. I was sold to Joe Biden. Multiple times. Sometimes people don't talk about it, because when you don't talk about it, it makes it okay. When you don't talk about it, it makes you bury it. When you don't talk about it, it's easier and it kills that part of you. I was sold for blowjobs. I was sold for sex. There is many people who trade to eat, beat, and rape children under the ground. I have many friends that I've lost, and I have many people that I've met that didn't make it, that refer to me as a traitor.
And that's because they're still dealing with this right now to this day.
Yes, there are millions just like me. There are millions worse off than me. There are millions that people cut off their limbs so they don't fight them back when they rape them. There are millions that they take pleasure in draining their blood and using it as a source of a fountain of youth. People have many sick fetishes, and the Hollywood elite, we sign their paychecks. We sign all of their paychecks every single day. This is when you stream their music, when you buy something from their brands, we sign their paychecks. And these are the people that have put something in your face and made you want to believe that you are the ones that are responsible to make them look the way they look. Their image is not what you think it is. They are sick, evil people.
This is something that has only recently become accepted by a large amount of people. Until now, a lot of people would look at you, Ali Carter, and say, you're crazy. Mm-hmm. And is that what these people at CPS held over your head and said, you're going to go to Arizona? You keep talking crazy like this. We're very concerned about your mental health. Is the gaslighting something that they did to try to make you doubt your own experiences, your own personal knowledge of what it was that was going on, the horrific tragedy that you were experiencing? I mean, is that what they would do? Is that the tactics?
Yes. I was taught pain is pleasure. I was taught that you do not speak unless you're spoken to. I was taught that as a foster care kid, you have nothing but what's in your trash bag that you carry from home to home when you're evicted from foster home to foster home. I was in over 19 high schools in 1 year. I never stayed in a place longer than a month. I was never in a home. I was moved all around because nobody wanted to talk about it. Nobody wanted to do anything about it. The California ombudsman was contacted. My foster mother, that is now my adopted mother, I'm adopted now, she went to everyone. She went to the police. She went to the California ombudsman. She went to private investigators. She talked to judges, attorneys, lawyers. She went to everyone, and everyone shut her down. There was no help whatsoever. And she was made out to be the crazy one. I was made out to be the crazy one. I was a high risk kid. I was moved from foster homes to level 14 lockdown group homes. And every single time something happened, every single time I came in with cracked ribs, with bruises, with bites, with rape kits, beyond rape kits, no one did anything. I went from shelter to shelter, from CPS report to CPS report. And CPS is your cover up. CPS is corrupt. CPS buys and sells and trades children. That is their major facade. There are some good social workers out there. And there are some social workers that know that they cannot speak on things, they cannot do certain things, and they have to abide by certain rules. Because if you don't, you will be abused too. Just like there is in the Brotherhood Freemason Cops. There is a secret society in the Freemason Cops as well. We are not safe. We have been threatened, harassed, stalked, and hunted down because I mentioned that I was trafficked under the Getty Museum. I have so much evidence. I have so much information, but I don't know who to give it to, and I don't know who to honestly talk to because there's nothing that have come of it. I don't know if Trump is going to do something, because that's the only reason why I do have something to believe in Trump, because he has given money to trafficking organizations, but 501c3s are cover-ups too. So what exactly and where exactly is this money going, and is there any really help? Because there's not. While we're out here, our house has been broken into. I'm sorry. Our animals have been killed. We have been away from our home for a year. We can't go back without police coming out and asking us where we have been. We have been stopped and pulled over in 8 states without a ticket, without a warning, and without any logical reason. They just want to know where our car is, what time that we'll be back, where are we parked, and how long will we be out, and how much money do we have? This is not normal. And everybody knows that something is wrong.
So when you say that Trump has given money to trafficking organizations, you mean organizations that fight trafficking, right?
Human trafficking.
I just want to make sure that I understand that. He's not participating in funding human sex trafficking.
No, that's not what I believe. And no, that is not what I've ever heard. I believe that Trump has done something because he is the only president that has mentioned it. And Trump is the only person that I haven't seen, to be honest with you.
So firsthand, these people were in a room with you and they raped you. I mean, there's no other. I want to be absolutely 100% candid. Barack Obama, yes. Joe Biden, these people raped you. And you say that you have these mountains of evidence that nobody wants to look at. What evidence do you have?
We have police reports. We have rape kits. We have information. We have videos. We have so much. But again, there's so much that I can't put completely out there, and I have mountains of it. But I do understand that when I was 16, I ran away from CPS. This is how I escaped. I was auctioned to Russia. I knew that if I went to Russia with this man that I would not come back and I would die. So I ran away and I hid for a year. I did what I had to do, and I can't say exactly what I had to do because it would put some people in danger. But I'm here and I'm alive. During this time, my pimp sent fake FBI to homes to interrogate, to disrupt the neighborhood. But when the suspects that they thought were the ones that were guilty and called them back, they didn't want anything. They didn't want to talk. They just wanted to see exactly where I was. It didn't end from there. It hasn't ended at all. I'm 27 years old now, and it should be done, because if this was just about sex.
Fight the fight. Light the light. We are there. Let's come against the night.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.